How do you like all those people? NXT is dead. WWE killed it. They killed it. That's it. NXT, they're going to change the name. NXT will be just fine, everyone. Yes, I saw the Nick Khan interview. Doesn't concern me in the least bit. It's what we said February of 2020. WWE needed to go back to what made NXT so special. Do you know, I think today is the anniversary of Sasha Banks versus Bayley, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. I think, could be wrong, but I saw a lot of people paying tribute to it today. Maybe because today was NXT 36, I don't know. But what's up, everybody? Every day there is a show, literally. I'm telling you, I know I sound like a broken record. I've been a fan since 1979, and as far as the number of wrestling shows, quality wrestling shows, fun moments, amazing moments, great matches, I think the last 7 days is up there with some of the best in my lifetime as a wrestling fan. You know, of course, Raw, little Shangata, but Dynamite was decent. You know, I just finally got to see Impact Wrestling Emergence, saw a little bit of New Japan Resurgence, everybody with similar names. NWA putting out some decent stuff. I haven't even had a chance to see GCW yet. And then we get SummerSlam, SmackDown, CM Punk making his AEW debut, Brock Lesnar returning yesterday, Becky Lynch returning yesterday, Kaylee Ray showing up in NXT tonight. And my God, I said it for 2 weeks. Obviously, I have a little bias for Karrion Kross. Of course, obviously. And he'll be fine. No worries, everyone. Remember all our conversations. No worries. There's a bigger picture going on over here. People do jobs before they transition into different places, different areas. We've seen it. No rush. Don't worry. But for 2 weeks, I said, this was the match. Ah, Alexis, you ruined it, damn it. People on video know what I'm talking about. What's up, Alexis? It is the anniversary of Sasha and Bayley. Okay. I had a feeling. I mean, you know, people clickbaiting you that WWE is killing NXT, they're pulling the plug, that it's not going to be, you know, anything. Sure, they're going to change the look a little bit. They've done that. Look at NXT now. Does it look like the same NXT from 5 years ago? No. Does it look like the NXT when it first started? No. WWE is just going back to their roots. Think about it. I know a lot of people say, well, look what they did to Keith Lee. Look what they did to so-and-so. Look what they did. Yeah, but look at also what they did with Sasha Banks. Look what they did with Asuka. Look what they did with Bayley. Look what they did with Charlotte. Look what they're starting to do with Rhea Ripley. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. And Becky Lynch. And I'm only talking about the women. The women. I haven't even talked about the men. Finn Balor and others. Sure, there was bumpy parts of the road, but that's the climate we're in. Everybody focuses on that little tiny bump in the road. It's never cake and ice cream 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There are always bumps in the road. But all these people online, and, you know, with all due respect, a lot of you say you agree with me. But I see you commenting on a lot of these Nimrod's posts. They're like little children in the back of a seat of a car going on a trip. And you could give them food to eat, games to play with, something to drink, movies on the head, on the head rest, you know, and they're singing in it. But, you know, one little thing, the whole trip sucks. Got to just be a wrestling fan, man. NXT TakeOver 36 tonight, in my opinion, I enjoyed this more tonight than I did SummerSlam yesterday. That match with Ilya Dragunov taking on Walter, I mean, I watched people, seriously, do think I'm kidding? Do a social media search. The first 2, 3, 4 minutes of the match, already, like the children in the backseat of the car, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? The match seems lacking. It seems watered down. This isn't going to be anywhere near with their 2020. Yeah, they were right. It wasn't going to be anywhere near their 2020 match. It was 100 times better. That match was insane. And you know what's so sad about it? You got so many people out there that think it's hilarious. Adam Cole, scrawny arms, stick arms, gas station attendant. Now, because everybody's wondering, is Adam Cole elite? Is Adam Cole going to Raw? Is he going to SmackDown? Is he going to AEW? Will he remain in NXT? A month ago, all these people talked about is, when is Adam Cole going to the gas station? Why? Because it gives them this. And it sickens my stomach to see all of that. Now, everybody, post about Adam Cole. They don't care about Adam Cole. You know what they care about? They care about getting tweet fucked. I really tried my hardest not to curse tonight, but that's the facts. They don't give a shit. Ilya Dragunov, let me tell you something. That guy is one of the toughest son of a bitches that I've ever seen in wrestling. And because people out there don't follow him, they claim they watch NXT UK, but they saw him tonight and acted like they'd never seen him before. Who's this little goofy nerd? Who's this little, this blonde-haired little punk? Who's this little white boy? The fuck up. Seriously. If other people out there could say, fuck Vince McMahon, fuck Bruce Pritchard, fuck Nick Khan, fuck this, fuck, then I say, fuck you goofs. I could do it too. I had so much fun tonight watching NXT TakeOver 36. Does it sound it? Yeah, I had a blast. I had a blast. And I know a lot of you out there absolutely love this show tonight because you take it in. You just be a wrestling fan. Sometimes being a wrestling fan, a positive one, is boring. You know? But we have the most fun in the end. So, anyway. We'll talk about it tonight. There's only 6 matches. So, yeah, I'm kind of rambling a little bit to eat some time because, quite honestly, I mean, I took some notes, but like, how do you even call or break down that match with Dragunov and Walter especially? It's insane. Now, there are people out there that don't like that style. And I totally respect that. But at least come out and say that that's not your style. Honestly, I'm a follower of Meltzer. And I'm a follower of Russo. And I'm one of those rare breeds that appreciate both sides. But I've said many times before, you know, I don't give a shit about match ratings. I care about if I liked it or not. But I will tell you this. There's not a doubt in my mind. Meltzer will have to give this 6 out of 5 stars. That's how good it was. It was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, honestly, there wasn't a bad match on the card. And it's weird because, you know, my quick instinct out of this is, which match did I like the least? And I got to tell you, like, I'm kind of torn between Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly or Karrion Kross versus Samoa Joe. Now, I know we're going to go back and forth with a few things tonight, which is cool. We'll get into all the match results, but... You know, wait a minute. No more midgets, old people being pushed. No more than it. Wait, Joe, first match back in a year. He's champion. Wait a minute. Do I think Samoa Joe is going to have that belt for quite some time? No. I wouldn't be surprised a month, 2 months at the most. That belt is dropped. The big question is, who is on the horizon to beat Samoa Joe. Now, just because Karrion Kross lost tonight doesn't necessarily mean that he is off NXT. You know, Bronson Reed, I think everybody should have learned a lesson about Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed lost the North American Championship and then had the dark match. And then I think he was on main event. And then he did another dark match. And then everybody's saying, oh, no, it's it. He's done with NXT. And then he's going to SmackDown. And then it was weird. He popped up on NXT again. Bronson Reed, what are you doing here? Blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, he's released. Don't immediately assume this person's going to do this. This person's good. And look, some of you out there will be right. Absolutely will be right on some names. No question. But let me just throw this out there that there is nobody online that can challenge. You, whoever's looking at this that's not in WWE, you, me, everybody tuning in, everybody else with a podcast, everybody else with a news paying site, everybody else with a blog, they do not know the future of these wrestlers. The only people that know is management in WWE. And I certainly don't think that Triple H, wait, didn't Nick Khan say that Triple H is leading NXT? But wait a second, he was forced out a year ago. That's interesting. That's not a question that Ariel Helwani brought up. I wonder why. Because people realized it was stupid and bullshit. This is a billion-dollar company with major investors. All right? Triple H is not a character figurehead. He's not the GM, the same role that Paige had in others. Triple H is one of the most important people in World Wrestling Entertainment. NXT is not its own corporation. That one day Triple H is going to say, let's go, let's move out, let's go on our own. NXT, we are NXT. No, it's all owned by World Wrestling Entertainment. Notice how no major investors, no conference calls, no big important people question. You know, I keep hearing about these things about Polavec. And I hate using real people's names, but that's his name on the corporate site. And I don't hear any of these investors. Mr. McMahon, Mr. Khan, Jeremy McDickshit, Dipshit, blah, 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 blah. You know, we hear all these things about Polavec losing his position. Could you elaborate on that? No. The only fucking people that brought it up is TomsDickinWrestling.com. Just like the Saudi Arabia stuff. You know, I don't mean to disrespect wrestlers who was stuck there, but most of them with a blue check mark. I'll never forget. Nothing against Humberto Carrillo. I'll never forget it. Got to take my glasses off of this because, Humberto, you're not worth me breaking my glasses. They got stuck in Saudi Arabia, and you had all of these websites, wrestling websites, WrestlingNerds.com and others, all reporting that they're being held against their will, that there's politics going on, and as a result, they're stuck there. And I look online, and I see Humberto Carrillo film a five-second clip where he's like in a bathroom in a hotel, or wherever he was in Saudi Arabia, and he just did this. I know my hair's all messy. He just did this. I'm so inconvenienced, or however you say it in Spanish. We're stuck in the airport for 6 hours. I gotta pee. Fuck you. Not many people in this great country and beyond who don't have blue check marks that are stranded in the airport for 6 hours. You complain, and guess what? You get arrested for it. Those people were inconvenienced. Oh, fucking well. You got a big payday. You went to a country that has problems. You reap what you sow. But every goof out there that needed this were all like, oh, they're being held against their will. Pray for them. Blah, 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 blah. CNN never reported it. MSNBC never reported it. Fox News never reported it. Channel 6 never reported it. Al Jazeera never reported it. Taliban.com never reported it. But Mike's Wrestling, and radio.com reported it, and everybody believed it to be true. And all that really happened was there were some issues. They were stuck there an extra day, and they got inconvenienced. Fuck that shit, man. I honestly, seriously, I know that I am almost alone on the desert island when I say stuff like this, but I know a lot of you out there, sooner or later, you figure it out. You figure it out. You see the garbage that's out there, because without this clickbait, and without that number one, they don't have conversation. They don't have conversation. They never talk about their own productive personal lives. You know, it's always, oh, you know, tweets, oh, pray for me, I'm sick. By God, I'm healed. Oh, I just rescued an animal from a 95-foot tree. I got shot. Oh, no, it wasn't a shot. It was a paper cut. Oh, you know, my house is going to blow down. You know, Tropical Storm Henry, which was about 400 miles away from here. I mean, just everybody, they just have nothing. They have nothing. Sooner or later, the lying, the clickbait, the assumptions that turn into news, sooner or later, people get sick of that shit. NXT will be fine. And a lot of the people that complain the most about NXT don't give a shit about NXT. The ones that spoke out the loudest about CM Punk don't like CM Punk. They don't follow AEW. Because you could tell people out there that truly give a shit about CM Punk and AEW because everybody was happy. Everybody was just having a great time. It is historic, you know, but everybody out there, I don't really like it. Well, then you're not invited to the conversation. But wait, what am I going to do tonight? I need to talk to people. So I'll tweet 10 times about it. Do not worry about NXT, everybody. Samoa Joe, if you think about everything's been said for the last month and a half, how does Samoa Joe fit into that?
Oh, but we like Samoa Joe.
You think Tony Khan probably cares a little more about them, Nick Khan. What did Nick Khan say in an interview? He's like, look, the fans want to complain, so what? I do what I have to do. Trust me. You can, everybody in the mood could go, Joe, 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 Joe. Wah, 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 wah. And guess what? Nick Khan don't give a fuck. Nick Khan is going to do what he thinks is going to give WWE the best financial, you know, outcome. The NXT, everything else. Why do you think they killed the Full Sail University deal? Everybody online is like, oh, look at the crowd in Full Sail. And look at the crowd at the Capitol Wrestling Center. And you'll understand why it's so important. Why don't you ask, with all due respect, why don't you ask the people in Full Sail University how much they paid to go see NXT? How many times you give handouts? And it gets to a point where, you know, we're still dealing with COVID. Yes, the WWE, AEW, and other feds are going to get their money back and then some. No question. But we also have to worry about inflation. I know we don't talk about politics all that much. Sometimes on Thursday nights, you got to worry about inflation. You know, when shirts now normally are $27.99, $29.99. But wait a minute, they were $20 3 years ago. You know, we all pay in the end. So they terminated. Why would you spend that kind of money? And then you get 500,000-600,000 viewers. You got all these people online saying that NXT is dying, WWE is dying, it's dead, it sucks, AEW is where it's at, NXT blows, and this and that. I mean, you give me something for free? Yeah! Now I got to pay regular price for it? Yeah. Now I got to pay prime dollar for it? Guess what? Something that was free, that you were so excited for. I always told this story when I was young, and now we'll get into the matches, because I've rambled for 20 minutes. I went to St. Francis Prep High School. We had this guy, Pete. I don't want to say his last name because he's still alive, and it would be a little embarrassing. We had this guy, Pete. I truly felt bad for him, not kidding. Because as a kid in high school, just starting high school, freshman year, you don't know how much tuition costs. Your parents pay for it for the most part. So I'm in prep, and we're sitting at the cafeteria, and we noticed within a few days, never had lunch. You would just sit there, I'm not hungry. No, I'm not hungry. I'll eat when I get home. I'm not hungry. When we realized quickly, when you looked at his shoes, is that a toe? And he's not wearing Matt Riddle's sandals. Is that a toe sticking out? Clean your toenails. He was poor. And his family scraped every dollar that they could to put him in a great high school. And after a while, you know, one of my friends, I don't remember exactly who it was or what kind of sandwich it was, but one of my friends said, you want half? I'm not going to eat. I'm not that hungry today. And he was like, no. It's almost like a reluctant dog that's been abused. You ever see those videos on Twitter? You know, people can't just rescue animals and bring them back to health. No, they got to document it and put this dramatic music and these giant block text letters like, he wouldn't come near me. Oh, look, he came near me. And everybody's showing tear emojis. The most beautiful people out there don't have to video document everything. Ask Mick Foley. So, you know, it's like an animal that's reluctant to eat a little. Pete, you want to have a sandwich? I'm not going to eat it. No, I'm good. Everybody else is eating. You're not eating. Have a half a sandwich. No. Pete, I'm going to throw it out. All right. Inhale that shit. Made love to that bologna with mayonnaise on stale white bread. And then after that, whenever somebody was eating, Pete, you want a little? I'm not going to finish shit. You sure? Loved it. Why? Because it was free. Trust me, if he had to pay $5 for that sandwich, ask him, my bologna has a first name. It's S-H-I-T-T. Why? That's why they're doing all these changes. That's why they're doing the releases. I told all of you a month ago, when they did all those releases of Bronson Reed and others. You watch when they go to Las Vegas. And you see how many people they signed. Didn't I say 10, 20 people are going to sign? They signed 12. A couple of them, I think, fall into the midget category everybody was talking about. Nothing different. In 2 months, when you hear about the next tryout, and then 4 months from there, you hear the next tryout. 6 months from now, you're going to realize WWE signed another 30, 40 people. But wait a minute. What about the hiring freeze? There is no hiring freeze. They're consolidating. They're making the company much more profitable. Oh, how do you release people and you have record profits? Who do you think is happy about that? The fans that might miss some of the talents that they won't see on TV for the foreseeable future, and I don't blame them for feeling that way, or the investors? How come none of the investors? Why did you let go of Jake Atlas? Why did you let go of Leon Ruff? It's so good. No. This is a business. It's a $1 billion corporation, a publicly traded company. They don't operate like you and I. And people act like they're supposed to do the right thing because it's called. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? Should I charge everybody $9.99 to tune into all my shows from now on and put 100 commercials on YouTube? Because, you know, it's the right thing to do. No. This is how WWE operates. NXT will be fine. Samoa Joe, 40-something years old. Remember the credit card that I made? I always wanted to repost it, but I really feel bad. When Samoa Joe was in TNA, and I know some of you remember this, and we'll get into the matches now. By the way, shout out to everybody live tonight. I love it. I love it. Because NXT is supposed to be such a tiny little show, and so many of you are hanging out tonight for a little bit. I try to keep it interesting, you know, talk about some stories. I don't want to sit here, WWE, Capra Wrestling Center, attendance, 440, 15 without masks. Oh, we try to have conversation. That's what this is. But when Samoa Joe was in TNA, there was an infamous pose when he became champion. And, man, I don't want to take off my shirt and embarrass myself, but I do have a little bit of marks, you know. Marks! But if I sit a certain way, you'll see, like, red lines. I still got weight to lose, but you see red lines. Samoa Joe pinned someone and then got up and had the belt in his hand, and all you saw was these big red fat lines. And I took, when Capital One came out 15 years ago, whatever it was, and Capital One said, oh, you could design your own credit card. I sent in just Samoa Joe from the nipples down to his belly button. It's just the abdomen. I wanted to get an actual credit card made up of just Samoa Joe's midsection. They turned it down. So I made my own. I wouldn't make fun of him now. I fucking love Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is awesome. I like him. We all like him. When you think about what's been said about NXT, and they're about to do these changes, where does Samoa Joe fit in that? Think about this for a minute. Yeah, no. They made the decision in April. They made the decision in April. Wait, what? That garbage news. When he didn't sign Wheeler Utah, that sent the message. Hiring freeze. They're not going. What the fuck was Las Vegas? Seriously, tell me how Wheeler Utah looks different than the people in Las Vegas. It just sounds like it makes sense. Does it make sense? Joe is your current heavyweight champion. The storyline with Karrion Kross has been what we talked about the first night that he lost to Jeff Hardy. At that time, we did not know. And honestly, I'm not going to lie to you, even now, we do not know fully what is going on. The only thing I know, straight from Team Kross, no worries, everybody. Relax. There's a bigger picture going on. I trust that answer. I don't trust nerdblog.net that wants to convince me that Kross's career is ruined. That's it. They fucking killed him. It's like AJ Styles telling that website that said he signed a new deal. AJ Styles contacts them directly and says, look, guys, you know, I didn't sign the deal yet. I don't know where you got that report from, but I haven't signed it yet. Instead of saying, wow, AJ Styles contacted us. Everybody, straight from AJ Styles, he told us that he never signed. You know what they said? No, AJ, we stand by our story. Why am I looking this way? No, AJ, we stand by our story. Even though you're the one telling us this, we don't believe you. Fuck you. Seriously. At that time, I made a remark and I said, do you think, because what concerned me that night was not Kross losing to Jeff Hardy. Because as soon as Jeff Hardy put his feet on the ropes and cheated when he's not a heel, and Jeff Hardy doesn't do that pretty much against any opponent that he wrestles now, you knew that there was a special circumstance. That was WWE's alternate version of the fruit roll-up. When the fruit roll-up happens, anybody can be pinned. The fruit roll-up is a cheap way out to give someone a win, but give perception that it's under special circumstances. My concern was not Kross losing that night. My concern was, how come Scarlett is not on the vignettes at all? Do you know tonight, WWE, this is the banner that WWE was pushing on their website.
Were they just trying to troll everybody? Scarlett is no longer there. Were they just trying to, like, cock tease everybody? Why are you putting Scarlett on the banner if she's not there?
That night I said, do you think they might be doing a storyline where Kross is a little off track and Scarlett will eventually show up? Snap out of it. What's wrong with you? There's something off. There's something missing. Something's got to get Kross back on track, Scarlett. As of right now, that's what I'm going with still. Didn't happen tonight because Kross lost a competitive match to Keith Lee. Tonight was Karrion Kross's first loss in singles competition on NXT. So now he lost the championship. So it makes, if the storyline is that Scarlett is going to be that void that gets him back on track, then how better than to him lose the biggest prize in NXT? Now, I know what you're going to say, and I agree with you. DT, that's so fucking stupid. Yeah, I agree with you. But that's how WWE operates. And listen, everybody, you know, I hate to break it to you, but if you notice, there's people out there that are trying to paint Triple H as some outsider, that he's the renegade, he's the bastard child of WWE, that everything he wants to do, everybody's against. So when there's a big corporate meeting and everybody is at the table, Triple H is sitting in the corner. I have a question. Shut up! That motherfucker is sitting at the table with everybody else. And I'm not criticizing that. People are trying to paint this picture that Triple H is this Jesus Christ of WWE. I don't want to go to religion route, but he's some giant savior that nobody is listening to. But boss, I got a great idea. Shut up! Go take my daughter out to dinner. Shut up! Don't do that. Don't do that. Nick Khan, Triple H's vision. Changing NXT. You think Triple H is like, but Nick, I don't think we should do... I believe, I trust the people actually work there, whether they're wrestlers or in office. I trust them more than I trust hillbillyslam.com. Hopefully I got a couple of laughs tonight. I just, you know, I try to vent on this stuff because it's so freaking frustrating. We should just be here tonight talking about how epic it was with Walter versus Ilya Dragunov. About the opening match, let's talk about the matches. Yes, let's get into it. Let's pull this up. All right, there we go. Opening match, Ridge Holland squashing Trey Baxter in about a minute. And, you know, right off the bat, Ridge Holland, a lot of power moves. You know me. I am a huge freaking fan of Ridge Holland. He is back. Every time Trey Baxter tried to get a little offense in, Ridge Holland would just counter. All right, you nail me once, I nail you four times. Ridge Holland beats him for a minute and gets on the microphone. And he says that this is Timothy Thatcher, this is going to be your future. So we have a feud coming up of Ridge Holland and Timothy Thatcher. Tommaso Ciampa, I don't know. Do they have him go at it with Pete Dunne? I don't know. But Ridge Holland made a statement tonight. The pre-show, one-minute match. That's all that was needed. So the opening match on the pay-per-view, Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight. If Cameron Grimes wins, he is the million-dollar champion. If LA Knight wins, he not only remains million-dollar champion, but Ted DiBiase is his butler. Now, look, you know, most of you out there, including me, saw this from afar. There's no way that Ted DiBiase was going to do skits for a month being a butler. It just didn't seem like it would click. I'll tell it like it is, man. I never liked Trevor Lee. I never liked the Cameron Grimes character. To me, he looked like the love child of X-Pac and, oh my God, Jimmy Jam Garvin. I never liked him. And you got to understand something, too. I don't remember what year he started in TNA, but it's got to be like 2014 or 2015. And Trevor Lee, for the most part of his career, has been a heel. And if you remember when they started teasing the babyface run, you know, I don't even think he truly knew how to embrace being a babyface. Other than going to the moon, like some of the things, it just didn't sound like it fit. But little by little, it started coming together and it started to click. They did those skits. We all knew that the Butler stuff was going to be priceless. And Cameron Grimes, it finally clicked. And you could see the fans eating it up. And I tell you, I have said this for a few years, that there's a handful of people that I absolutely could not stand on television. And one of them was Cameron Grimes. And I know I said multiple times in the past that I don't know how I could see myself ever liking this guy. Well, NXT and WWE is so fucking bad. How could they ever turn it around for Cameron? Well, guess what they did? Cameron Grimes, I am a fan. I'm enjoying this. And as most of us thought was going to happen, Cameron Grimes is now your million-dollar champion. You know, during the match, we had Ted DiBiase kind of helping Cameron Grimes a little bit. He got busted open a little on his nose. But they had an excellent opening match. That crowd was hot tonight. Not just in temperature, but in excitement. That crowd was awesome tonight. They weren't cheering and getting loud because they just, you know, wanted to be part of the show. They truly enjoyed tonight. That match was excellent. And almost everyone out there expected Cameron Grimes to win it. This Tuesday, they're going to do a million-dollar celebration. I am going to stick with what I said recently. I think the storyline ends up. May not happen yet because it might be a little too soon. I think ultimately Cameron Grimes is going to give that million-dollar championship back to Ted DiBiase. And the reason why I say that is the same things I've been saying before. It's not a recognized title. That's number one. So, you know, Cameron Grimes loses it to, you know, somebody in Legado. And then they lose it to somebody in Hit Row. And then Hit Row loses it to somebody in Imperium. Like, it's just, it doesn't fit. Walking around, one of those heels, you know, probably hock it or break it in a million pieces, melt it. You know, it's not a title that you could see changing hands. There's got to be a million-dollar money storyline attached to it. So I think truly in the end, Cameron Grimes, now full-fledged babyface, crowd behind him, Ted, there's only $1 million champion, and that's you. Give the belt back to Ted DiBiase. That's the way I see it going. I don't know. I don't know. I don't write for them. I don't get paid to write for them. But this is where I see it going. We'll see what happens. But Cameron Grimes, oh, shit. I'm looking at the screen. I'm like, Cameron Grimes, you shaved. There we go. It's like, you shaved. I had to deselect the button. Because every time I close the picture, then what ends up happening is it starts from the beginning. Now it doesn't. I was like, wait a minute. But look, LA Knight, man, he's still young. Doesn't it feel like who feuds with LA Knight next? It almost feels like LA Knight may need to go to the main roster. Here's the problem. If he goes to the main roster, who does he leapfrog? Does he go to the main roster and then challenge Damian Priest? You know what I'm saying? If you really think about it, like, I can't see, like, who is he going to start squashing and beating to keep some momentum? I'm a little concerned about LA Knight. Courtney Summers just dipping in and out to remind everyone, be kind to others. I agree with you, Courtney. Absolutely. Look, there's no secret. I've been doing this shit almost 25 years. And years ago, I was a lot more edgy. You know, some of the humor was not the most tasteful humor. And, you know, no malicious intentions, but My attitude was a lot different. You get older and you start understanding like what's truly important in life. And I'm not trying to be a preacher here, but you see tragedies. You may know people personally in wrestling, family members, friends, neighbors, coworkers, whether it's COVID or something else. Life's too short. You know, both my parents, major health issues. You know, me, two cancer scares. One right now, I'm not out of the woods yet. And I'm going to be concerned about podcasters talking shit. You know what I mean? You got to just enjoy yourself. And that really, the last 2.5 years, ever since the night I hung out with all of you at Lucky 13, that was the wake-up call. To have so many of you hanging out and telling me, DT, you know, I went through major tragedy, or I lost my family member, or I got divorced and I got kicked out of my house and I got this and I needed just some escape to get my mind off of shit. And they're saying that to me and Wrestling Soup. And it's just like, man, you realize that something you just simply joke about, you know, really hits home for a lot of people out there. So I'm still a nobody. We're all nobodies. We're actually somebodies, but we're really nobodies when you think about it. Never feel guilty to enjoy yourself, man. Never feel guilty to enjoy Charlotte. Never feel guilty to enjoy that you think NXT is going to be just fine. Never feel like you can't enjoy, you know, Goldberg, even though I even said yesterday it's time for him to pack the boots up. No matter how awesome he looks, it's time to pack it up. Never feel guilty for enjoying something, man. There'll always be some asshole to put you down. Ilya Dragunov and Walter had a 10-star match tonight. And I wanted to just see the way I popped. I mean, you're talking 800-plus day reign, done. And just watching him, like, get pumped up and getting those chops to the neck. My neck, my back, my oop, and my crack. That guy got the shit kicked out of him, and he kept coming back and kept coming back, and he's chopping down Walter. And I'm just like, this is fucking awesome. And I wanted to see online, you know, am I alone in this, or is everybody else? And I even see Brian Alvarez and others saying, this was fucking amazing. Everybody showed their respect tonight. But in the midst of it, there's always people cracking jokes, throwing shots, you know. Not everybody is happy Walter lost. I'm with you. I'd like to have seen him go 1,000 days. Absolutely. But Walter did not lose tonight. Ilya Dragunov won. I know I'm going one step ahead. We'll get back to that. But, you know, just enjoy what you want to enjoy. Ah, there we go. Now I need to restart it. All right, let's go this back. I hate being a little messy over here. Let's go back. Loop for me, please. There we go. All right, so Cameron Grimes, your million-dollar champion. Congrats to him. Let's see where it goes. Like I said, I think the belt goes back to Ted DiBiase in the near future. So Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez. This match was a lot better than I expected it to be. Dakota Kai, wet. Sweaty wet. Perverts. Dakota Kai wet is about $1.15. Raquel Gonzalez, just physical, look, is a monster. And that's exactly how they treated this match today. Yes, when you see me looking here, I took some notes because I wanted to remember some bullet points. That you had Dakota Kai with a Huracanrana driver. I know it sounds like Hua as in bitch, but Huracanrana driver. Doing a lot of high-flying moves, and you got Raquel Gonzalez. You could tell she is studying a lot of the bigger wrestlers from yesteryear. You know, she's done the Vader bomb before, but she does the Vader bomb. A lot of power moves. So Dakota, you know, just easy on her feet, more in the aerial. And here is Raquel Gonzalez with the ground power moves. And They battled it out today. And look, it's not easy. It's not easy for Raquel Gonzalez to have a great feud right now or a great match in the ring unless your last name is Shirai. You know, I know they, you know, are saying that Zoe Stark wanted a championship shot. Xia Li wanted a championship shot. This person wanted a championship shot. Gigi Dolan wants a You know, it's, you see Raquel Gonzalez and how they built her up. Raquel Gonzalez, in the year and a half that she rose to the top, she was never the focal point. Even in War Games, she was one of five. You know, so it was never her standing out on her own. So now, since she's champion and she's got to be out there on her own against an opponent, it's not easy to match her up evenly with someone. So it's for a lot of people out there, I mean, for people out there that couldn't accept the size difference between Dragunov and Walter, look at Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. There's quite a bit of a size difference there too. But the finish reminded me of the giant, Paul White. If anybody remembers, I'm not talking Big Show. Yes, I'm talking about the same person, but I'm not talking Big Show in WWE. If you remember the mid-90s when Big Show, Paul White, was the giant in WCW, when he gave choke slams, he would lift the person up, but then he would have his hand on their back and would follow them down, halfway down, and then drop them. And I think, look, I've been in the ring for a short period of time. I sucked. But I never did choke slams and I never took one. But when you watch people closely doing it, it almost seems like that was done as a way for him to protect his opponent from maybe a little too arching too much, whether it's his fault or something. It was more of, you know, halfway down, then let him go. And Raquel Gonzalez tonight, when Dakota Kai went for the Yakuza kick, and Raquel Gonzalez was on the middle rope, not the top rope like everybody's saying, it was the middle rope. Raquel caught her. And then Dakota Kai lifts her leg up, and Raquel Gonzalez reminded me so much of the giant in WCW. She gives her the choke slam, but follows it halfway down. And it looked beautiful. And she got the win. Excellent. No complaints whatsoever. So while Dakota Kai is in the corner, licking her wounds, and Raquel Gonzalez still pissed off, but your champion, music hits. Props to that crowd that was there live tonight, because they knew who it was. The name was not on the screen right away, but they started chanting right away. Kaylee Ray, longest reigning NXT Women's UK champion, she shows up and she's staring down Raquel Gonzalez. So now it looks like we're going to have Kaylee Ray versus Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's Championship. Excellent. Excellent. Top performer. Top performer. If you've never seen her work in NXT UK, got to check it out. You got to check her out. She's freaking fabulous. I'm still holding out hope that Miko Satomura shows up. I mean, before she signed, that's who I wanted to see WWE bring in. And she's killing it in NXT UK right now. But that is something to look forward to. So now look, you look at the current NXT women's roster, you know, it's interesting when you look at that roster and you say, wow, you know, couldn't think of anybody else to go up against Raquel Gonzalez at this particular moment. It's not about any women being moved to Raw or SmackDown. That can happen at any time to anybody. It's no different. But the fact that they decided to go that route, interesting. It's interesting to see if Walter remains in the States for a little while. I don't know if Dragunov will remain in the States, maybe for a week or two at the most, but I think he's going back to the UK. Absolutely. You know, but when you really start dissecting things a little bit, you know, maybe the look changes and they feature a lot more younger stars. They're not going to get rid of every single person that's over a certain weight or under a certain height. But, you know, it's going to have a different feel and different look to it. So people, look, this is the thing. This is the thing. If you're a newer wrestling fan out there, I'll try to explain it as best as I can. And it'll be quick. Any of you out there that go back to the Florida Championship Wrestling days, especially when Bray Wyatt was first there, and he sounded like Forrest Gump on the shrimp boat, my daddy on the shrimp boat. Then it became NXT. And Seth Rollins signed with the company, 10 years ago? And you had some people there, even Baron Corbin. You had a lot of people in NXT that were never on the social media radar. You know, you had I hate to say it like this, but you had the Ring of Honor fanboys, as they used to call them 10 years ago. They were the ones oohing and aahing about Seth Rollins going to NXT. In fact, just to prove to you how much I remember to this, I still remember to this day when Seth Rollins signed with WWE and showed up in NXT, the only comeback people were putting online was a picture of Seth Rollins with Carrie Silken, I think it was, in a hotel room. And Seth Rollins is wearing but a very small pair of trunks. There was nothing sexual about it. They were posing for a picture, but that was the climate people were trying to pull at that time. You didn't have social media. Oh, you should go to the main roster. Or you should go to here. No, they were just trying to fuck with him by showing the picture of him wearing a tiny little pair of trunks in a hotel room. I'm not saying it. They were insinuating some funny business, and it was disgusting. It was disgusting. I'm sure some of you have seen that picture. There's nothing sexual about it, but that's what people tried to do. At that time when NXT, Florida Championship Wrestling and NXT, it was the developmental. It was the wrestlers not ready for prime time. And then little by little, you started hearing, you know, they got this guy Bray Wyatt. Didn't they first pair him with Jackson Andrews or something like that? Or, you know, they got this little group going on and he's playing and then you hear little things about it. Then you start hearing about Bayley. You remember when Bayley first came up to the main roster and you had people, they were like, oh, she's too small. She's for the kids. Nobody's going to take her seriously. And then they serenaded her. NXT at that time was not on everybody's radar. You would hear things. They would get on the network 100,000 views. It was never supposed to be like this. That's WWE's fault. And yes, they have veterans there that prefer to stay there. But WWE now has to gain control, whether we like Adam Cole or Tommaso Ciampa or anyone else. You're not going to offer $500,000 or $1 million to someone that is just going to stay on a developmental brand with 500,000 viewers. So when you hear about, is Adam Cole going here or is he going there? Is he going here? Maybe he'll resign. If he resigns with WWE, and they're going the developmental route. And let's say Adam Cole does not want to go to Raw or SmackDown. Maybe he just wants a very, very limited schedule. I mean, what are they going to do? All right, well, we can't have him go to AEW. We'll pay him $600,000 and he'll stay in NXT. For what? To fight Kyle O'Reilly? You know, again? So people need to think about all of that aspect too. So Nick Khan changing the look and the feel, that is so people stop thinking that NXT is the rival of AEW. Because that's what people painted it to be, and WWE fell into it as well. WWE is very, very guilty of this. And if you remember what I said since February of last year, NXT, you see Nick Khan's interview with Ariel Helwani? He said look, he's not listening to me. But he said exactly what I said from February of last year to now. And I said, NXT's got to be a place where there's no pressure. That somebody who is trying to hone their craft and trying to become a star has a place where they can work and build, make mistakes and recoup from it. And not have these assholes with these social media accounts, AEW botches, NXT botches. Okay, you want to do it on the primetime shows or pay-per-view? Go right at it. But when someone is in a dark match or in a developmental group and they're trying to build, and of course everybody starts from the bottom and everybody is jerking off, laughing hysterical at this person botching this person, and it's a dark match, they're not ready yet. That's terrible. So NXT needs to reestablish that identity that, look, this is the farm system for WWE. That's why they have to change the look. They're not pulling the plug. They're not taking away Triple H's power. They have to reestablish that this is their OVW. This is their Florida Championship Wrestling. This is their Heartland Wrestling Association. And if veterans out there get insulted that, no, NXT is more than a developmental, well, in your eyes, you may feel that way, but that's not how WWE sees it. That is exactly the deal. And it's boring. It's boring. If everybody out there reiterated that, well, it kind of like doesn't really like, that's not exciting. So people got to make it sound like that NXT is on life support. That Triple H or Triple H is going to go out on an episode in NXT in the next couple of weeks. We are NXT! And then somebody's going to walk in with his fucking sledgehammer and start breaking the place apart. No, it's not. You're fired. Ain't happening. It ain't happening. Vince has a seat at, Triple H has a seat at the table. He doesn't have a little kitty chair in the background in timeout. Everybody makes it seem like he's wearing a dunce hat in timeout, not invited to the conversation. And that's why those people don't work for major wrestling companies when they want to. That's why nobody hires them. Because when you have that mentality, why would you want to? See, so many people hate Ryan Satin. You know, Ryan Satin, you know, you either like him or you can't stand him. You know, I like the guy. But, you know, people that watch him, and nobody's forced to watch Ryan Satin. If you don't like him, you don't watch him. But the guy understands that if you're going to give input, there's a way of doing it, and you can't do the clickbait, you know, trying to make it seem like, you know, Vince, you know, I own NXT. You know, remember March 26, 2001? Alex Express, I own NXT. You think Vince, the fate of NXT is in my hands. God. And I'm not trying to be cocky, but I know every single person out watching this, whether you like me or not, knows deep down inside what I'm saying is true. And it'll end up being true. It'll end up being true. They got to go back to their roots. And when they bring in some younger stars, there can't be pressure. Social media will try to keep that pressure up. And Nick Khan, as he admitted, he'll lurk. He'll check out the climate online. But there ain't nothing that me or any other podcaster is going to say that's going to have Nick Khan going like that emoji. Ain't happening. So Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai, excellent match today. And, you know, let's see where Dakota Kai goes from here. You know, I think she'll have a role still, especially with Candice LeRae now pregnant. You know, so, you know, her role may change a little bit, Dakota Kai. I'm not saying she's going to be with Johnny Gargano in a storyline. Nero Faye, will Joe be in champion, get more eyes on NXT? Look, man, Joe has been in NXT as an enforcer. There was a lot of talk that he ultimately would be GM once he's done being in the ring. And, you know, with the exception of 2 weeks ago, you know, the ratings didn't go up. They went up. It was funny. The ratings went up a week after Karrion Kross had the second match on NXT. I don't know what the reason was behind it. Samoa Joe, he's not going to be one of those guys. See, I don't have the Rampage rating yet. Friend of mine was trying to get it. He sent me a DM right before I went live, and he said, DT, I think they did about 1.2 million. So last week they did what? I said they do 740 and they did 750. So if they did 1.2 million, that means about 450,000 more viewers tuned in at least to see CM Punk's debut. 450,000 viewers, you know, for a Friday night, 10 to 11 p.m., I say that's impressive. I guarantee you there'll be people out there saying they didn't even get like double their viewers. 450,000, that's not even an NXT number. So the fact that CM Punk may have added an additional 450,000, how many you think Samoa Joe is going to pull? 50? 50? And even if they tune in just to see Samoa Joe, they might tune out to everything else. I might have to start doing a quarter-hour ratings breakdown again just to show the trends of what goes up, what goes down. So, no, I don't think Joe is going to pull in crazy viewers because of this. I think the numbers, you know, look, Kaylee Ray showing up is a nice addition for now. If they keep Walter around for a couple of weeks, all right, now you got Walter and Kaylee Ray and Samoa Joe getting a little elevation. Now you start thinking, okay, all right, I could actually tune in for this. We'll see. We'll see. But we really don't know for sure. Now, Walter versus Ilya Dragunov. There is absolutely nothing that I could say tonight that could replace you watching this match. I swear to you, before I go to sleep tonight, I am watching it again. I have been joking on social media for the last 2 weeks. I posted a picture of Walter chopping someone, and their chest looks all distorted from the pressure of the chop. And I said, the world needs a chop from Walter right now. I mean, there's a big part of the world that just needs one. Seriously, I'm almost tempted to do it right now and chop myself. But I don't want to. I just got the COVID shot. I'm still a little sore. So that guy is just. And understand something. This is something I think people forget. Walter is amazing. Walter is like, you know, I think back to Samoa Joe in the mid-2000s. And even at that time, Samoa Joe was really impressive, but not like Walter is in a league of his own. Yeah, no, Nia, that's where I'm going with this. If Walter is going to stick around for a little while, that would be fascinating to put him in a championship match. In fact, I even said earlier, if Cross retained, I'd love to see Cross versus Walter. But one thing I think people need to really think about, when you see Walter chopping someone in the chest, chopping someone in the back, chopping someone in the neck, slapping somebody hard in the face, punching somebody hard in the face, none of that is possible if someone on the opposite side of the ring has the balls and the energy and the strength to take that. Takes two to tango. That's why when you see Walter, you don't see him against a jobber, where Walter just destroys someone in 5 seconds. Yeah, we might get that if Walter was being developed on the main roster, like what they used to do with Ryback. They put him with one person, two person, three person. But Walter, to do all that, you need somebody to take that. So when people make fun of Ilya Dragunov's size and the way he looks, and he looks like a jacked up Drake Maverick and this and that, you take a shot from Walter. Seriously, I'll set up a GoFundMe. I'll raise five digits and would pay Walter to give. I got about 50 people online. I'd love to see him give that chop to. Seriously. And it'd have to be recorded on 4K, high definition, so we could put it in super ultra amazingly slow motion and just watch the skin go and just watch their face, the reality of what just happened. And you know, some people be like, I almost broke my mic. So Ilya taking all this, you need a Dragunov to make Walter look on that level. Shit, man, you look, so when people like me say we would love to see Walter on the main roster, friends, who in the blue hell do you think is going to take that kind of abuse against Walter? Yeah, I could see, you know, some of you say, oh, I could see AJ Styles wanting to do a match like that and Riddle and a few others. There's probably maybe five at the most. You think of the WWE, can you imagine if you're just trying to like keep your place in WWE, you know, let's say Kalisto before he got let go. Can you imagine if Kalisto showed up for work? Hey, everybody, happy day, everybody. And he looks at the sheet. He's got to face Walter. I'm telling you, even the pinata would take a shit on the floor. The pinata, you hit it with a stick and shit would come out. It'd be so scared. There's not many people, you know, that do that style. That's why it's not as easy to get them to the main roster as people think. And who wants to see a watered down Walter? Seriously. I mean, you know, he would do some stuff, but not on this level. So tonight, what this story was about was every time early in the match, Walter would get the upper hand, Dragunov would take it. And, for example, Walter does a hip toss, tries to get Dragunov early on with a couple of chops. Dragunov hits a couple of chops of his own. Walter, a little bit frustrated over it. Later on, Walter gets the upper hand and wails one chop. Dragunov goes over the top rope onto the floor. So Walter is beating the piss out of Dragunov outside the ring, brings him back inside the ring, hits him with a German suplex. Then he puts Dragunov in a Boston Crab into an STF, snapmare to Dragunov, soccer kick to the back, chop to the chest, chop to the back, and you just hear it, and you just see all the red welts building on Dragunov's neck, his chest. But he's taking it. He's taking it. Then what started happening is Dragunov started to get some offense. So every time Walter was getting the upper hand, Dragunov would respond. So they're exchanging forearms. They're exchanging chops. Walter hits the Gojira clutch. I always get tongue-tied with that. Dragunov gets out of it. Walter hits a Uranagi suplex. Dragunov kicks out. Walter smashes his face in with a boot. Dragunov gets up. Chop to Dragunov's back. And they have the close-up on Dragunov's face, and he's just like, ugh! And he's taking everything. And that crowd, this is awesome. You know what's funny about the This Is Awesome chant tonight? I don't know if you noticed it. WWE piped it in, and they didn't need to. What happened was somebody started the This Is Awesome chant, and then WWE, felt that that was the moment to pipe it in also. And then what was happening is that you would hear the loud This Is Awesome chant, and then you would hear it, like, off. And the voices sounded different. And then some people live were syncing up with the piped in chant. So you had the authentic "This is awesome" chant, which was freaking loud, and then you had the piped in one as well. Yeah, Benjamin, WWE still pipes in a little noise, you know, to try to get fans into something. They didn't need that tonight, man. The crowd chanted "This is awesome" multiple times, chanted "Fight Forever" at least once, and this just went on and on and on. Ilya starts getting the upper hand, and he's starting to break down Walter. And, you know, he's getting some close two counts. He's hitting, he hit the Torpedo Moscow to the back of Walter's head, 2.5. But even with that, I'm thinking to myself, no, no. Walter's at 870 days as champion. 130 days would only give us to the end of October. You got to go 1,000 days with this guy. Then they start thinking about Asuka. You know, and Asuka, she had that amazing run in NXT, and it carried over onto the main roster. And then Asuka got so high that even I remember debating Mish at that time when Charlotte beat her at Mania. A lot of people pissed off. They felt that that was not the time to end Asuka's run. So you have to end Walter's run sooner or later. And Ilya, I mean, just also think about the 8 stitches that he got on his eye. So obviously they were avoiding shots to the head, you know, to the face as much as possible. That's why he was absorbing extra chops tonight to the chest and the back. Lot of elbows, a lot of kicks to the midsection. But you now people are starting to get behind Dragunov. I mean, they always were. I freaking love how the American fans have embraced Dragunov. You know, some fans out there that don't pay attention to NXT UK, I get it. I get it. Not everybody had him on the radar. You know, the only thing that gets me annoyed is people that don't have him on the radar. They just look at him like a jacked up Drake Maverick or an extra from some WB11 TV show, and they crack jokes. You know, it's like this motherfucker is 10 times tougher than shoe leather. And the best you could do is just make fun of how he looks. And the funny thing is, most people that do that, they won't even show what they look like. Just enjoy the fucking match. It was probably match of the year. Seriously, as I'm watching, I'm like, this has got to be match of the year so far. I mean, even AEW stuff. I don't even think AEW fans who hate NXT would even argue with this. It was that good. It was that good. So what ends up happening towards the end of the match? Walter climbs the ropes with a sleeper, still applied to Dragunov. And, you know, he jumps off the rope to just try to break it. Dragunov immediately starts elbowing Walter, just nailing him any way he can. Dragunov puts the sleeper on again. Walter falls backwards, but this time Dragunov does not break the hold. And he's hitting cross faces, rabid punches, and then puts the sleeper onto Walter again. And almost immediately, taps out. And the crowd went nuts. Me at home, my fiance was in the other room doing a save the date wedding invitation stuff. And I yelled out, "Holy shit!" She's like, "What happened? What happened?" Maybe she thought I saw like a giant water bug or something that's been raining so much here. But I literally yelled out in my room, "Holy shit." Honestly, did not think this guy was going to get it. But he did. He is your new NXT UK champion. And he deserved it, man. Seriously. If you watch that match, honestly, I know Walter had it for 870 days. You look back on it, and no issues whatsoever. He earned that victory. Walter did not lose tonight. Ilya won. It's a big difference there. I can't say the same about the next match, though. Next match, the final encounter. Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole. 2 out of 3 falls. First match is straight up wrestling. Second match is a street fight. If it goes to the third, which we all knew it was, it would be a cage match. And the opening match, you know, like we're thinking the Undisputed finale. Never again. For now. For now. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly. You have a straight up wrestling match. And basically what happens is Adam Cole hits a super kick to Kyle O'Reilly, tries to hit the Panama Sunrise, but then Kyle hits him with the fruit roll-up and gets a 3 count. Like this. Immediately, it's 1 fall and none in favor of Kyle O'Reilly. And I know a lot of people are online like, already? But when the street fight really was the fall that everybody was focused on. Great storytelling by both. The whole storytelling in the second fall was Kyle O'Reilly selling ribs. What happened was they using kendo sticks, they're using chairs. Yes, Adam Cole, even with a little shout out to Britt Baker, trying to hit the lockjaw. I don't know if anybody noticed that. You know, look, WWE likes to have fun too. Go on their Twitter account because this photo I just showed you is from WWE. And WWE had those emojis that were like, they knew damn well why Adam Cole was doing that. And they had some fun with it. See, this is something else. Yes, he did the lockjaw. This is something else people need to understand. And I don't ever, if you notice, I never criticize young fans for this. But, you know, at one point, back many years ago with the internet, you know, the internet really started to blow up in, I would say, 1995 as far as wrestling goes. Sunny, they were putting it over the most downloaded woman on the internet. But in the early to mid-2000s, I'd say mid-2000s, WWE hated social media, hated the use of the internet. In fact, there was a time when I remember that wrestlers really were not supposed to have their own websites. WWE did not embrace the internet and social media and MySpace and forums. They did not welcome it. They hated it. That's how far back I go. I go back doing this since 1997. They hated it at that time. If you even do like a Wayback Machine search of my site when I was doing news up until around 06, you'll see. I mean, WWE was just not internet friendly till they realized how much money can be made online. That's why you see them so late in the game doing podcasts, so late in the game doing certain things. You would have thought that some of the things they're doing now, they would have started 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So what's happening now is, you know, and look, I know a lot of people will focus on the death of Brody Lee as really, like, I don't want to say the catalyst, but the one that really changed it. But it was almost taboo to be seen with friends at a rival organization. Shit, I've always told this story before, too. Get a kick out of this. I think it was the second annual Chris Candido Memorial Show. The one I was on that I did the X-Lax with the cannolis and all that. If I remember correctly, Tommy Dreamer was there. And Road Dogg and Billy Gunn was still part of TNA. I think they were the Voodoo Kim Mafia still. And for that tribute show, for one night only, Tommy Dreamer gave them permission to be the New Age Outlaws. They were not on the WWE contract, obviously. But you had wrestlers from TNA there, and you had a couple of people who worked behind the scenes for WWE. And even at that time, there was a little bit of concern that because you had people working for TNA and you had a couple of people working behind the scenes for WWE, that, oh, what if they're talking business with each other? Because you always hear when someone is released and they have a 90-day no-compete clause or they're coming to the end of their contract, they can never talk to the enemy in the process. I will tell you with 110% certainty, if someone has a month, 2 months, 3 months left on their contract and they plan on not re-signing with a company, they are talking with other employers. They can't ink any deals right away. But isn't it even true when Jericho decided that he was going to leave WWE, that he had already had a couple of conversations? I mean, not he was going to leave WCW, that he had a couple of conversations with WWF or through other people. So that always happens. You know, so anyway, getting back to tonight, you know, Adam Cole, you know this is going to the third match. You know this is going to the cage match tonight. And everybody is wondering what's going to happen with Adam Cole. Now, like I said earlier, you know, the amount of money that Adam Cole would demand might be too high to keep him on NXT. We don't know if he wants to work the schedule of Raw and SmackDown. They're touring again. If Adam Cole's contract would have came up a year ago, maybe he would have resigned for another year or two. And because they were doing Thunderdome. So even if he was on Raw or SmackDown, you know, he's still working in one building. Now you're touring. NXT is not touring. Yes, NXT will occasionally have an event here and there, but that's the thing. So there's a lot of aspects as far as Adam Cole that nobody thinks about. So getting back to the picture with him doing the lockjaw, WWE now understands that wrestlers have significant others who work for other companies, that have close friends that work for other companies, and they're going to go out, get together, dinner, party, and they're going to take pictures. And back in the day, that was a big no-no. And if you think I'm wrong, you go back in the day, it was extremely, extremely, unbelievably rare to see a picture of a WWF wrestler who was a big star hanging out with a WCW wrestler. That would be front page news on almost every website. Now, you see, without naming any specific names, New Year's Eve party, you see some AEW people, you see here, this one is working out with Brody Lee's son, and it's all good. It's all good. WWE realizes now that wrestlers are dating wrestlers from other companies or married friends. So they're not going to call out anybody in AEW. Look at Britt Baker. When Britt Baker won her championship, didn't WWE on their social media account right before she won the belt, didn't they post her getting squashed by Nia Jax? I think they did. And then them tonight doing the emoji, they're playing into it. They're trolling fans. They know exactly what they're doing. Get used to it. Get used to it. Not all of it is malicious. Some of it, you know, obviously taking shots. Trust me, I don't think Seth Rollins is thrilled that Britt Baker is using the curb stomp and then using it as a transition move, you know. Sometimes, you know, I remember the controversy years ago, Jack Swagger doing the ankle lock. Kurt Angle was still an active wrestler. And I think when Kurt Angle was doing the ankle lock, I think Ken Shamrock was still technically an active wrestler. So there was people trying to stir it up online. Look, Kurt Angle is using Ken Shamrock's finisher. It is what it is. So anyway, during the second fall, Kyle O'Reilly is climbing the top rope. There's two chairs in the ring. Adam Cole flips him off the top rope. Basically what Goldberg didn't do good yesterday with Lashley. Kyle O'Reilly lands rib first on the chairs. So he's selling the ribs big time. And Adam Cole taunting Kyle O'Reilly, just stay down, Kyle. Just stay down, Kyle. Then he gets a little bit of energy back. Adam Cole goes for a chain one side of the ring. Kyle O'Reilly grabs a chain on the opposite side of the ring. That looked kind of dumb because they're exchanging punches in the ring and they're just like connecting on each other's arm. Because you start bashing each other in the face or the head with chains, everybody should be busted open. But what ends up happening is Adam Cole gets the upper hand. He tosses Kyle O'Reilly, like I said, off of the top rope, the two chairs, hits the rough shot to the back of Kyle O'Reilly's head, gets the 1-2-3. So it's tied up 1-1. Kyle O'Reilly gets out of the ring, and as the cage is starting to form, Adam Cole powerbombs Kyle O'Reilly onto the announcer's table, and they're playing off that Kyle O'Reilly, you know, may not continue, but, you know, the whole storyline is that he is not going to quit. And they're battling in the ring. And in the finish, I didn't like the finish at all. In fact, I'm pretty certain, as I was typing my notes, I could have sworn I heard the crowd chanting, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Adam Cole whips out handcuffs. And he handcuffs Kyle O'Reilly to the top rope. Now, Kyle O'Reilly, I think where the mistake was made is Kyle O'Reilly like went off his feet for a few seconds. And it showed that Kyle O'Reilly, I don't think, could have had both of his shoulders on the mat. If you go back and you watch it, I personally think Adam Cole should have handcuffed him to the middle rope. Maybe Adam Cole could have been on his knees, wailing on Kyle O'Reilly, where Kyle O'Reilly is laid out on the mat. Then he just picks up his arm and just grabs the middle rope. It would have been the closest rope to him, or the bottom rope. You wouldn't do it on the bottom, but I think he should have done the middle rope. But by doing the top rope, when Kyle O'Reilly went off his feet, you look at it and you say, I don't think both of Kyle O'Reilly's shoulders could be on the mat. So what ends up happening? Adam Cole with a pair of super kicks. And then he starts yelling in Kyle O'Reilly's face, I am the king of the undisputed era. Kyle O'Reilly with an one-arm heel lock onto Adam Cole. And Adam Cole submits. Mr. Nimbus, what's up? Yes, I am looking at the chat. But Kyle O'Reilly wins. Crowd didn't like the finish. Adam Cole obviously always cheered from the crowd because of the work ethic, but the finish did look kind of stupid. And I don't think fans really, really enjoyed that all that much. So, now Sam, you say Adam Cole should have just walked out the door. Why? Why? Because the cool thing is to not to be the consummate professional. That's why people, you know, like Malachi Black, people should have learned from Malachi Black. They were almost begging him on social media, Twitch or whatever it was, begging him to trash WWE Creative. How could they fuck you up, Tommy? Tommy, how could they fuck you up? And he's like, look, don't get mad at Creative. They did everything that they could. Consummate professional. People understand where their bread is buttered. Even CM Punk, give him that. The guy 7 years ago was extremely ill. Doctor misdiagnosed him. Had every reason to be irate and pissed off with WWE. And there's still obviously bitter feelings. But even he seems to have, you know, let some of that go and just enjoy himself and make the future better than bashing the past. There's nothing wrong. I mean, look, it's in all good fun. I mean, you know, we like a little trolling. Let's not lie. But that makes the difference why professionals get work and get hired and rehired. And that's why others just bitch on social media. I know it rubbed people the wrong way, but we're now a year and 7 months later with COVID. And you see the same thing that I said way back when. Do I want to tweet or do I want to eat? And there's still people out there who are blaming everybody else and every other thing going on in the world why they're not working full time, instead of blaming themselves for, you know, not going out there and finding something. Going for it. Any way you can. No, just bitch at the world. Because those 62 likes make me feel wanted. Makes me feel important. Those 62 likes don't come with PayPals attached to it. Malachi Black, consummate professional. Adam Cole, consummate professional. In my opinion, if Adam Cole was leaving WWE and was not the most consummate professional in their eyes, they would have just taken him off TV and that would have been it. That's how I look at it. There are some people you could trust. Not everybody is going to try to do a Medusa and throw a title in a garbage or something in a garbage. So that's just the facts. So a lot of people did not like the finish. I didn't like it at all either. So now we go to the main event. Prior to the match, William Regal's in the back with Samoa Joe. By the way, once again, much love to everybody who is here live. It's funny, I just saw five people disconnect. I think some of them went to go on Twitter. They kind of feel like a little bit angry right now. That motherfucker just made me feel like this. Let me go tweet. I rescued someone drowning in 1 inch of water on the flooded street of Brooklyn. Like, I'm a superhero. Almost a superhero. Almost. Oh, wait till you see. Go check out my thumbnail for tomorrow's show. Nothing against Nikki Cross. I don't have the thumbnail here, but basically all I wrote was, I'm starting to get a feel for the thumbnails now. I'm still new on YouTube, but I just wrote almost sucks. Not Nikki. She doesn't suck, but almost sucks. Almost. I almost won the title. I almost got hired. I almost won the lottery. I almost got laid. I almost sucks. Almost sucks. Not omas. Almost. So the main event tonight, Karrion Kross versus Samoa Joe. No Scarlett yet. In the back before the match, William Regal giving Samoa Joe good luck, entertain the fans, but most importantly, kick his ass. William Regal wants to see Samoa Joe kick Karrion Kross's ass. Now, I should also point out they hyped up a little bit for Tuesday. Carmelo Hayes versus Odyssey Jones in the breakout finals. That will happen Tuesday. Also, we're going to have a six-man tag, Legado del Fantasma versus Hit Row. So that's Tuesday. So now Samoa Joe comes out first. And yeah, I did take a picture of the stare down. There we go. Samoa Joe, you know, then maybe a little bit thinning in the hair somewhat. Looks like he did a year ago. I mean, he looks fine. Karrion Kross coming out. Right away, we want Scarlett. We want Scarlett. Early on, Hardy. I mean, WWE had to know that that shit was going to happen. But look, like I said at the beginning of the show, none of us, and I don't go that game, oh, I'm hearing that Karrion Kross is going to Raw. I'm hearing that this person is going to SmackDown. Oh, yeah, they're reading other people's tweets. That's what they're doing. None of us know, except for WWE and the person themselves. And if people truly knew, then they would just say, Karrion Kross is going to Raw. If you write might, maybe, likely, possibly, seems, you don't know. You don't know. You either know or you don't know. So we don't know what the future is for Kross right now. But that storyline that I said the night that he lost to Jeff Hardy seems to be the way that they're going with this. But one thing that I will reiterate, when Team Kross is not worried about this, WWE is not worried about this, I have a little bit of solace that the guy is too talented, that, you know, I trust them, or especially the talent themselves, than Jim's headlocks and hamsandwiches.com, you know? So Kross comes out there, no Scarlett, walking very, very slow. I think a lot of us were hoping that when Karrion Kross started walking, he would stop and then go like this. And then Scarlett comes out. Problem is, why would you have Scarlett make a return for Karrion Kross to lose? Unless she was going to turn on him, which nobody wants to see. So if this storyline continues that something is off with Karrion Kross, Scarlett is the easy solution to it. So the match, you know, was okay. I mean, look, when you have Ilya and Walter, and even Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, because it did have its great moments, not easy to follow those two matches. So this was two heavyweights going at it. The match was very even. Karrion Kross a little bit too cocky early on in the match, even did this to the fans. Some chants from the crowd. Samoa Joe, you know, selling some of the offense by Karrion Kross, getting, you know, some defense as well. And look, I see what some people are writing about Kross losing quite a few of his recent matches. The best of the best of all time in WWE has had losing streaks. AJ Styles lost to James Ellsworth 3 fucking times. Nobody ever talks about that. Oh my God, AJ Styles is done. Oh my God, that's it. They're embarrassing him because of TNA. That's different. Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it. Daniel Bryan loses to Sheamus at WrestleMania in 10 seconds or whatever it was. I think Daniel Bryan ended up just fine. Kofi Kingston, yeah, what a really abrupt, crappy way to drop the title to Brock Lesnar in 10 seconds. I think Kofi's career has been just fine since. Just had a main event match against Bobby Lashley as well. Do not worry. Do not worry. Many, many Hall of Famers have had storylines with losing streaks. It's just that when it's some of your favorites, you get a little bit extra upset at it. And that's totally understandable. Totally understandable. So, the match going back and forth, and slowly into the match, Samoa Joe starting to get more offense, and he's hitting a lot of his vintage moves. And I hate using the term vintage. Let me fix this. Yeah, it's better. Got to put that in case any Streamlabs show up so I could shout somebody out. But Samoa Joe hitting a lot of his vintage moves, because Samoa Joe is not a full-time wrestler anymore. But Samoa Joe showed everybody that the guy could still go. And for NXT standards, he doesn't need to have that many matches. I tell you the truth. I know a lot of people would fantasize Walter and Joe and a few others. You know what I think? This is just a long shot hunch. You know what I think may actually end up beating Samoa Joe for that title? Pete Dunne. If Pete Dunne stays with NXT, because his contract, you know, because people looked a couple of years ago when they saw the news when he resigned. They're like, oh, if it's a 3-year deal, that means it expires later this year. Notice how they never gave you the particular month or, God forbid, the date. All they wrote is later this year because they looked at news from 3 years ago. Pete Dunne recently renewed his contract with WWE. Oh, what exactly month, please? Nobody reported it. So they do 3 years later? Oh, later this year. That's the sausage making, everyone. Then when we hear that he resigned or he did not resign, see, we were right all along. No, you just read a website from 3 years ago and did math. I think Pete Dunne is the one that might end up taking it off of Samoa Joe. But Samoa Joe, you know, starting to hit a lot of his moves against Karrion Kross and pulls out the muscle buster. And I tell you, I know a lot of people are pointing out today that one of the reasons why WWE did not have Samoa Joe return to the ring and put him in the commentator's booth is because he was very injury prone. And that is true. But this is only one match in a year. You know, people who have had a wrestling career for 20 years and has one match, you know, that doesn't suddenly not make them injury prone anymore. Now, knock on wood, I don't want to see Samoa Joe injured again, but this was one match. And this match was slow, methodical, but it told a good story. Karrion Kross, a little too confident, a little too cocky, you know, but went for his finisher, and Samoa Joe reversed it. Karrion Kross tried to hit some power moves, Samoa Joe reversed it. In the end, the muscle buster, and he gets the win. And I guarantee you, majority of the people out there, if they thought Karrion Kross was losing that championship, people thought he would be stripped of it. They did not think Samoa Joe would pin Karrion Kross because, remember, WWE is not looking to push. People who are old, out of shape, inexperienced, or midgets. Samoa Joe, props on his return. Great that the fans ate it up and loved it. It's not very easy in 2021 to have someone who is a veteran who hasn't wrestled in a while, whether you missed him in the ring or not, to have a comeback, have a good match like he did, and win a championship. Some are saying Johnny Gargano. That's possible. I think Ridge Holland, it's a little too soon. But I don't know, man. I like Pete Dunne. I like Pete Dunne. I'd like to see Pete Dunne be NXT Heavyweight Champion. You know, we'll see. We'll see. But that's how we go off the air. Samoa Joe is your NXT Heavyweight Champion. Where Karrion Kross goes from here, let it play out. Let it play out. And that's it. I enjoyed this pay-per-view very much. For 6 matches, even though Ridge Holland was only a minute, for 5 matches, each one was strong. My favorite match of the night, I mean, I think it's everybody's, Walter versus Ilya Dragunov. I mean, for me, that's match of the year. And it's not even close. And don't expect them, even if they do have a rematch, don't expect this level every time. Because no human being could keep that level. Unless they wrestle once every 6 weeks. But by far, that's the match of the night. My least favorite match of the night, I tell you, it's either Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, only because that third finish, just, I don't know, I didn't like it at all. The main event was not bad because we knew what Samoa Joe could do. Or from at least a year ago, we knew what he could do. It's not like he showed up 50 pounds lighter and was jacked up. I mean, I'm not trying to compare Samoa Joe to this wrestler. But I always remember the Sandman. when the Sandman left ECW and went to WCW, and he was there as Hack, and it never really clicked. And then when Sandman showed up back in ECW, people were like, this motherfucker looks jacked. Looks jacked. Like, totally, you know, changed his body type in a short amount of time. Now, how he did it, I have no idea. And we've had other wrestlers disappear for a little while, come back, and their body is transformed. Samoa Joe looked like he did a year ago, wrestled like he did a year ago, and did not disappoint. He did pretty much what we all expected him to do. We probably just didn't think he would actually become NXT Heavyweight Champion, especially with what's been fed to you over the last month and a half. So, my least favorite match, I'm probably going to go with Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, only because the first fall was a quick fruit roll-up, and the third fall, I didn't like the finish. I don't blame the fans chanting bullshit. I don't think the fans would have had any problem with Kyle O'Reilly winning. It's just the way they did. A one-armed move. You know, it's just, it's like when you used to fight Zach Allen. You know, every time we would watch Zach Allen, and we would just say in storyline, like, you want to beat Zach Allen? You just hook the leg. How's he going to kick out? He tries to kick out, but if he's got the fake other leg on and he kicks out, that leg's going to shoot to the third row. If he's not wearing it, how does he kick out? Just hook the leg. That's it. It's over. What's he going to do? Bite your fingers? You know, sometimes you think about that. And to see Kyle O'Reilly with a one-arm submission where Adam Cole could have just put the fuck out of here. I don't know. So anyway, that is it, everybody. Little surprised that we went this long, but we had some nice conversation about aspects of NXT that I hope, you know, if you had some worries about NXT going forward, hopefully I helped ease that a little bit, because the doom and gloom that people are selling is not happening. We just had an incredible fucking pay-per-view. I mean, it's just not happening. They're going back to their roots. If you keep the mindset that NXT is going back to their roots, what you see will make that much more sense. And you got to understand something, too. And there's a little preparation for the very near future for a lot of you out there. The people who fed you that, if they go back to their roots like we're talking about, they can only come back with one of two things. Plans changed. That's the cop-out everybody does. Plans changed. When they push something for 2-3 months and it doesn't happen, oh, Vince changed his mind. You know why? Because they know Vince won't go on social media and go, liar! I never changed my mind. They know nobody's going to come back and call him out on it. Or the second thing they'll do is they'll twist it and still insist that it's doom and gloom and, you know, releases on the horizon. There's always going to be releases on the horizon. You just let go 14 people, and they just hired 12. So now when they do the next mass hiring, expect a few more people to be released. That's what's going to happen. That's the turnaround. This is the Nick Khan effect. When he started condensing WWE films and those departments, and you started to see wrestlers showing up on main event and dark match and this and that, and 205 Live, notice how nobody brought up 2 months ago when Odyssey Jones was on 205 Live. I don't think Odyssey Jones weighs 205 pounds. He's basically, look, we have all these people working for us. Why can't this person do this and this? If they're not working here right now, why are they just sitting and catering? The days of sitting and catering for many people are over. Okay, you're not booked for NXT, no problem. You're going to work a dark match on SmackDown. Oh, you're not. We're not going to put you over here. Okay, we'll have you do main event. You're not going to go over here. Okay, we're going to. That's what's happening to a lot of people. And at the same time, people are getting extra work. People are getting a little more experience. So I always bring up, I saw Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar wrestle a dark match. I think it was either 2008 2000 or 2001, around that time. It was before they made it to the main roster. No, actually, no. It had to have been 99, I think. It was either 99 or 2000. But we saw him in Madison Square Garden. And they weren't ready. And nobody, you know, thought, oh, my God, these guys are terrible. No, they were just getting work, performing in front of a live crowd, and look at the careers they ended up having. So as much as you may like Tony Khan over Nick Khan, and I agree with you, Tony Khan just seems like a much more likable guy. But at the end of the day, Nick Khan, it's about business. If you are a fan of business and how the sausage is made, you really can't dislike Nick Khan when you think about it. Investors love the guy. The people behind the scenes and management love the guy. The talent themselves don't like the guy. And some people who, you know, were making a decent pay and were doing very, very little, creative is at fault for that, not the wrestlers themselves. But those days are coming to an end. So anyway, I'm out of here, everybody. I've been doing a show every single day, and I will be back here tomorrow with Mish for your Raw recap. We'll have the fallout from SummerSlam and anything else that goes down. I got to thank all of you again for a wonderful last 5 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tuesday was Patreon, which was great too. But this has been awesome, man. Yesterday, SummerSlam, fun recap, even though there was a few things that sucked, to be honest. Some was great. Like I said, the good, the bad, the ugly. If you haven't checked out my review, check it out, because a lot of people really, really appreciated the brutal honesty about a lot of topics. And we'll have some fallout tomorrow, and we'll see what surprises go down. So, everyone, on the way out, if you haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you hit that thumbs up. You'd be surprised how much that helps. That tells YouTube that you like the show and you recommend it to others. Post a comment in the comment section. Earlier today, I spent about 2 hours responding to comments over the last few days. Lots of CM Punk, lots of SummerSlam, lots of other things. And I will be definitely responding to some more comments tonight before I conk out. So, everyone, it's been great. Thank you, as always, for the support. Yeah, I shout out everybody. You know what? Let's do a couple of quick shout-outs. I'm trying not to commingle SummerSlam from yesterday because I know some falls in the same dates. Shout-out to Alexis Rodriguez. Thank you again that today is the anniversary of Sasha versus Bayley. Go back and watch a couple of episodes of NXT at that time, and you'll see how little pressure there was for them, you know, when they were just every week honing their craft and doing what they were doing. They were given that time to have that masterpiece that they had. It didn't happen overnight. They need to go back to that. Speaking of masterpieces, AS7607, Ilya and Walter was a masterpiece tonight. I mean, something special. Something special. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Courtney Summers, much love to you again. Thank you. Nero Fay, talked about Joe earlier, and we'll see what the ratings go for. I think you will see a little ratings bump this week. They need to advertise a little bit more. Nothing against Legato, because I love Legato, but Legato versus Hit Row has not been a ratings draw. And Carmelo Hayes and Odyssey Jones, definitely two bright stars of tomorrow for the company. I don't know how much that's a ratings draw either. So, and yeah, Walter versus Joe would definitely be a fun match. I'll say this before I leave. I look at what Walter did to Ilya today. Not many people could withstand that for that long. As tough of a son of a bitch and talented as Samoa Joe is, I don't know if Samoa Joe at his age should be taking that kind of a beating that Walter gave. You know, I mean, if Walter sticks around for a week or two, Walter's got to show up on NXT Tuesday and just destroy people. I mean, just grab the smallest people, the least valued names, and just chop people. Like, it's like a bad cartoon. Let them chop someone, and they just turn into, like, like a bad cartoon. They turn into, like, 50 different little pieces and run away. I think we need to see Walter, a very angry Walter, on Tuesday's NXT. If they advertise Walter being on NXT Tuesday, I expect a nice little bump in the ratings. So, all right, everybody, good night. Much love as always. Post your comments. Hit that like button. I'll see you tomorrow night with Mish after Raw. Ciao, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.